But maybe you can get something from it too. So let's pray. Lord, I ask that you would talk to us today and that you would speak to each of us concerning our lives, that you would touch our lives with your presence through the words that I speak. And I pray you make me better than I am and that you speak to each of us in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to read to you John chapter 1, verses 1 to 10, John chapter 20, verses 1 to 10, and then I'd like you to join with me in the last five or six verses after that. This is a normal scripture for Easter, just so you know, but I don't want to really focus on so much the resurrection as I want to focus on the words of Jesus. Now, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early, while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple. By the way, the other disciple is John, who wrote the gospel. He doesn't mention his own name in the gospel. The one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Peter then came out with the other disciple, and they went towards the tomb. They both ran, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. And stopping to look in, he saw the linen cloth lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. And he saw the linen cloth lying, and the napkin which had been on his head, not lying with the linen cloth, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not know the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes. Now join with me in reading verses 11 through 16. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb, and as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Saying this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing. But she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom do you seek?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." And she turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Mary." And she said to him, she turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni." When somebody speaks your name, what do? You look around and up. You look behind to see who is addressing you, or surprised. If you're not expecting someone, perhaps you shudder inwardly if you wish you had been found by this particular person. I had an incident that occurred to me back in 2003. I moved here in 1998, and of course I grew up here in Decatur, but my father-in-law died, and Bertie inherited some money, so we decided to go out and buy a car. And we went to Springfield because we wanted to look at a bug. We grew up in the era when we had Volkswagen bugs, and I had one until my brother trashed it. But we went over to Springfield to the Volkswagen dealership over there, and we were looking around at these Volkswagens, and this guy came up to me. He's obviously one of the salesmen, and he said, "Are you Jack Pitzer?" Well, when somebody calls my name, all kinds of red flags go up because I know a lot of people in a lot of different ways. And I said, "Yeah." And he said, "Do you have a brother named Jim?" And I said, "Yeah." He says, "Well, you guys saved my life." I said, "What are you talking about?" He says, "I was in prison down in Vienna, Illinois, and you guys came in and did the great banquet, and you and your brother saved my life." And he told me about his experience down there and all that it meant and how he'd gotten out. But what was really the interesting part is he actually called my name. And when somebody calls your name in that kind of setting, that's when things happen. People notice. Let me show you what I mean. By the way, Betsy, I didn't do this because you're here. My name's Jack. And I've seen you before. I've been actually someplace with you, but you probably don't remember me. My name's Jack.
Andy.
Yep. I didn't plan this with you and mine because I was going to do this anyway because that's what I do. Hi, Rachel. How are you? Mr. Wolber, it's always good to see you. And Amber, how are you today? Where's your husband work over in Lincoln?
Growl.
Is it a car dealership? If I showed up at his place sometime, you think that I would get his attention?
Yeah.
Well, maybe I will do it. Mitch, buddy, how you doing? You staying out of trouble? Oh, really? Amy. Hi. Linda?
Yes.
Good to see you.
Nice to see you.
And how are you, guys?
Hi. Oh,
are you staying out of trouble?
Trying to.
Well, that's good. Lawyer should, you know that. Trish, how are you? Now, the reason I'm doing this is because, Brian, how are you?
Good.
Is because by doing this, I actually come into contact with you. And, hi, how are you? Okay?
Hi.
She's busy. And Lisa, Tim. Now, if I do this all morning long, we won't have a message at all. But Sarah, how are you? And it's Wheezy, it's really good to see you here. Beth. Mr. Stenger,
yeah.
How are you doing?
Great.
How's the knee?
Good.
Good? Have you been up in Chicago? No? What do you know? Anything?
Not so good.
Not so good?
Yeah, it's touch and go right now.
Touch and go.
Yep.
What the?
Okay. The reason I'm doing this is because...
What's up?
What's up? It's when you actually make contact with people, it's different, isn't it?
Yes.
It is different, isn't it? And I'm sure that Andy and Betsy, you guys are here for a reason, but I really hope that today is a different reason. We know that politics are out there, but that's beside the point. Right, Mr. Blessing?
Yes, sir.
How are you, Andy? Good. You know, when somebody... you run into somebody that you didn't expect to see there. When you run into somebody that really hasn't been in your life for very long, it's an interesting thing to happen. And it's also very interesting when somebody calls your name. Now that you may be separated from them for a day or a month, maybe years. But when somebody speaks your name, you become aware of their presence. And you also become conscious of yourself as being met. One of the problems we have in our society today is that we have these cell phones. And one of the things that happens because of that, because you can text people and do all this stuff, you don't have to actually sit down and talk to them about anything. And I think it's an issue in our society, and I think it's an issue with us as human beings. So when I come and speak to some of you today, I speak your name, you become aware of my presence, but I also become aware of your presence being here. And if this sanctuary was filled with people, and it's not too bad right now, but if it's really filled with, you can hide. But if somebody comes and speaks your name, you become aware of their presence and you realize that you are no longer hidden. You also become aware of yourself as being met. Now, I hope I've raised up enough of this that you begin to understand what it means to encounter somebody else in this life. Because there's so many crowds around us all the time, and we don't think about people as personal by who we are as individuals. But when you are met, something really happens. There's a certain sense in which you are valued, or you know that you are alive. You could be hated or sneered at, but something happens. Sometimes you become aware of yourself as guilty, or you wonder if he is going to reprove you. And you wonder what this all means, and because we meet one another. There are other times of encounter as well. Those are occasions when you have great embarrassment. Someone enthusiastically greets you by name and you know them, but you don't remember their name. Oh, I hate that. I know a lot of people. I have met a lot of people. So that happens a lot to me. And you can answer back, but you cannot. You stumble through it, you hesitate. Reluctantly, you may admit your ignorance, hoping you are not dealing a mortal insult to them because you can't remember their name. By the way, do you know why that God appeared in a burning bush? Because Moses could have come down from that mountain and said, you know, I remember the face, but I can't remember the name. So he told his name, but he was in a bush, so therefore, I remember the name. So as we look at this scripture this morning, sure, it's the Easter message, you might say, but it was no small moment in the life of Mary Magdalene when on that first Easter morning, Jesus addressed her by just saying her name, Mary. That one word was so much more than a name. It was a decisive encounter. Here was a focal point in her life. That moment was a moment of eternal significance for that woman, for Mary. Now, I don't know if you've ever had that encounter with Jesus, but it was a decisive encounter. It was a meeting of two separate beings, and all the pretense was gone at that point. All the masks that we like so much to put on was absent at that point in time, and this was an encounter that was completely honest, but it was also eternally significant. Now, encounters like this, whether they be between you and Jesus or you and another person, are the way of... They do away with preconceptions that we have. They do away with misjudgments, prejudices, and when two people meet, or it changes us, actually. And if you meet God, it really changes you. This type of encounter, and especially with Jesus, reveals totally new possibilities in terms of life, new horizons, new creations, you might say. They also give you a new and deep sense of who Jesus really is, and also who you are, and what is the meaning and purpose of your existence. Now, we may have different kinds of professions and things that we do with our lives, but it has to do with when you look in the mirror and say, why am I here? Really? What is my life all about? And it is a focal point in your life. It's a moment of crystal clear awareness that something important is happening to me when you encounter Jesus. Now, I want you to understand that that encounter is not to be confused with the process of identification. That's getting to know someone or something over a period of time. The process of identification is coming to know another person's style of life over a period of time. Now, we could sit down at the fire, at the fire or campfire, and we could talk about our lives. We could walk with one another for days, and we learn about one another. The process of identification is coming to know another person's style of life over a period of time. An encounter is also not the sharing of past experiences with another and coming to know them in the present through their sharing with one another. Now, an encounter with Jesus, it is very difficult to describe, first of all, and it's different for every last one of us. And it can, I can tell you this as well. An encounter with Jesus is something novel. Well, that's a small word for a big thing. If you encounter Jesus, that is something that has never happened before. And I tell you what, if God gets into your life, it can stop time. It can focus your life at that point in time in such a way that it awakens you to your potential. Yourself is not only reshaped by that encounter, but you become more aware of your own personal being at that point in time, that you really are who you say you are. You have an identity. You become more of a person. And in that encounter with Christ, some of your false self dies. You know, we can put on a lot of masks, but a new self begins to rise up from the grave of that encounter. I say begins to rise up, and I say that on purpose because a process of perfection is started at that encounter. Have you ever had that encounter with Jesus? It changes your life. It does things to you that walking on a day-to-day thing won't do to you. Now, Mary, as we read about her in this scripture in John, is like most of us. She was pretty much a normal human being with all the things that we have. She had her life situations and her circumstances, and she was close to Jesus. But her expectations and her way of thinking resisted any kind of real change at that point in time. She was like us. She was locked in to her knowledge of the world at that moment and her understanding of the way things should be. She was caught quite a lot like us, actually. You know what we see? We see what we expect to see. But she encountered the risen Lord himself, Jesus Christ, who is God come in the flesh. And because of that encounter, Three things became apparent about her life at that point. And it's also true of our lives as well, because we can live this mundane life that we live, but if God ever enters into a relationship with you and he makes his appearance known to you in your life and he calls you by name, things change. First thing about Mary is that Mary was expecting a dead Jesus. And because she was expecting a dead person, she could not find him and she could not see him. We are blinded by our own frame of reference. We tend to get just what we expect in life. We can't see it if it is outside our frame of reference. We want to see how God could help us, but we can't see how God could help us. We don't expect God to speak to us personally. And the way we see the world is not the way the world is. The way we see the world is the way we are. Because of what you pray for, you might get it. Now, friends, if you expect Jesus to be a dead fact that is stranded in some kind of stained glass windows over the centuries, that is what you will have unless God calls your name. And when you get what you get then is a dead faith. And it's been embalmed over centuries, but Jesus is not there. But if in faith you know his presence here today, you also know and feel the depth of that encounter with Jesus, which we call the Lord's Supper. Because he sits at table with us and he shares his meal with us. Now, when you come to the Lord's table, do you look for a living Jesus? Or are you here to remember a dead Jesus? Is he alive in you? Have you had that live encounter with him? The second thing about this that is really important is, this is so important, Mary was found by Jesus. Even while she sought him unsuccessfully because all she could see was, oh, he's been crucified, dead, and buried. But she is found by Jesus. Her earnest searching did not go unanswered. You know, we had a men's great banquet here last weekend. And those guys came, and there was a certain sense in which they were looking for a dead Jesus. But they saw the living Jesus. Now, it was right for her to be seeking and searching with heart, soul, and mind and strength. Yet she could not recognize Jesus because her perception of life was wrong. Her perception alone, even when she met him, she supposed him to be the gardener. We don't expect the unexpected. We just don't. We don't expect that our own understanding of reality is limited by our perceptions. We don't understand that our perception of the world is really our perception that we see. It's not the way the world is. And there were a group of men that came here last weekend, and they had their perception, but God called their name. Only when out of his grace he spoke her name did the moment of recognition come. And it was power, the power of his one word coming to her. He said, Mary. And that was an encounter which sought her out. It's when God calls you by name. I don't know if you've ever heard that call before, or you've ever heard God speak your name. He does it very simply. just as I spoke to some of you this morning. The last thing about Mary's encounter was that even after she found him, she was not totally free. She was still locked into this world. Her perception of life is what she understood. Her new life had been given a new orientation and direction, and yet there was plenty of the old Mary still present in her at that moment. You know, when her response to Jesus was Rabboni, which means teacher. She sees, understandably enough, an old familiar Hebrew explanation of calling him teacher to try to comprehend an extraordinary event in the history of the world, but an extraordinary event in her history. She's trying to place new wine in an old wineskin, so she calls him the old term. She says teacher when he is now so much more. Jesus, who is the Christ, the King of kings and Lord of lords, God come to us in the flesh. So what are you calling him these days? Great teacher? A miracle worker? A healer? Until you encounter Jesus or he encounters you in this world, are you like Mary here, still covered up with the dead weight of false expectations and the fact that God doesn't step out of his place to speak to you personally? Are you fixated on old ways of viewing life, of erroneous idea that our minds have the ability to comprehend all that we encounter? Have you heard God call your name? Did you hear Jesus call your name? As that day dawned, which we call Easter, the risen Christ came and said, Mary, a simple word. I suggest that you not be blinded by your past, that you not be blinded by the assumptions that you have about life or the prejudices that you carry, which are our opinions of things. I suggest that you not look at the fears or the pain in your life, and we have many, I know that, but I say look to who Jesus is. As we come and we have communion together today, may he call your name. Let's pray. Speak our names even in this moment, Lord. Give us minds to understand what we are and what we are to be. Give us eyes to see the world as it is through your eyes, and the wills to choose to act and to live as your people. Enable us to say, yes, Lord Jesus, here I am. In his name we pray. Amen.